Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
The down low. When you told me that you were coming over, I was so excited that I felt guilty as if I was going to faint on the spot. It seemed like forever that I've adored you from a distance. My heart smiles every time I see your face. I rush home so fast to prepare for your visit. Hot bubble bath, scented candles, soft red light, complemented by beautiful slow music on the radio. I cut up small pieces of watermelon so I could tantalize and feed her supple lips with the sweet, moist, savory fruit. My dream girl finally arrives. I slide slowly off the bed that later will tell the story of our hot, passionate sexual encounter. With the intensity of rabbits in heat, as she leaned forward against my bed, I came from behind while my hands began to grope her pussy and squeeze her body, pulling her closer to me. I pressed into her velvet skin, trying to merge our flesh into one. As she began to remove the scantily articles of clothing, fully nude, she climbed into my bed as if a lioness on the prowl, and lay there in her nakedness. I felt tightness in my chest. I knew I must not fail to satisfy her, not wanting it to be the last time, caught up in the modest shyness that I so cleverly concealed behind the scented chiffon scarf that covered her eyes. I look at her nipples, waiting for my mouth to devour them and her pussy to lavish over. As my fingers slide inwards, my tongue licks her wet, moist, dripping pussy as she sighs. Breathing so slow and so deeply, I allow my tongue to search out and caressingly travel around her body, leaving areas to explore later. I feel my cool pussy start to moisten up, and beads of sweat engulf my breath and cascade down my back. I think this is forbidden fruit. While I don't care, I'm in the moment. How much I crave for her to fuck me ever so hard that my pussy screams out into ecstasy as we both are feeling the overwhelming intense desire to have sex. After prolonged foreplay, I return to the dark cavern where I part her lips, and her aroma of body heat drives me to a frenzy. I lick reached my hand to reach the vibrator lying beside me. The low hum. As I turn it on, it excites me because I know it's getting ready to become hot and heavy as I continue to lap up her pussy juices as if licking into a cat with a bowl of milk. I purr as my body screams out to be touched, penetrated, and sucked. I want to fuck like this. It's my last day on earth. I roll my head sideways and reached up to pinch her nipples that were standing at attention in anticipation of my touch. We decide to switch places because I'm already on fire. She spreads my legs wide and went down with her experienced tongue, penetrating my pussy like a penis in frenzy. Oh, I can't contain myself, reaching out to find something to hold on to. As I claw at her arms and hands, she squeezes my hands so firmly. I think this can be as good as it seems. What the hell kind of lovemaking is this? So passionate, so hot, and so intense. I'm loving every minute of it. Then I realize it's lesbian love. Am I gay? Or should I keep this on a down low?
Happy International Women's Day to our lovely listeners around the globe.
And moi as well.
And you too. Yes, of course. Yeah, I know, but I said that too before the show, so I didn't. Whatever.
Yeah. And without further ado, I want to tell you a little bit about our guest tonight. And it's just Jane Warner. Man, this woman is bad to the bone. I'm so proud of her. You know, not only is she an author, she became published. And she wrote 13 books. And she also was a COO in a publishing company, which for y'all who didn't know, because I never heard of COO, she said a CEO is a person who owned the company. A COO is a person there running the company day to day. And she has been doing so many different genres of books, not just erotica. She does a lot of things, autobiographies, romance, poetry, Christian fiction, sci-fi, you know, suspense. So, you know, she has a plethora of stuff, you know, and she was, you know, able to help 250 authors get their books published. And she She had 5 bestsellers. So I'm not going to keep going on and on and on about this lady. She's also a radio host herself. But, you know, I want to get in here and talk about her freaky side, you know. Because what people don't understand, when you're doing radio, it's good when you have Christian, you know, platform, or you have sci-fi platform. My show is called Unmasked because I want to take off the layers where everybody can see whatever they want to see. You know, I'm not going to get pigeonholed into one thing. So with that being said, I don't want to waste no more time. I want to say hello to our special guest, Just Jay. How you doing, baby?
Hi, Miss Perry. How are you?
Girl, I'm doing fine. And like I said, I'm so proud of you, queen. You're doing the thing.
Thank you. You got me blushing.
Yeah, and you should be, because, I mean, you're very accomplished, you know, and God give you your roses while you're still here. And, baby girl, I don't have just a dozen. I got about 5 dozen of roses. I'm giving them to you, baby, because you deserve all that and more.
Thank you.
Well, you know, and everybody, thank you, so welcome. Now, my question is, growing up in life, we're going to see a lot of things. We're going to see a lot of sci-fi. We're going to see a lot of memoirs. We're going to see a lot of sex, good or bad. We're going to see a lot of everything. But when people write books, I know for a fact, because I'm a writer, that when you write books, I don't care what you write about, it's part of that writer in that book they're writing about private kept. So with that being said, what made you decide to write your first erotica book? And what was the catalyst for that? Was it some good sex or some bad sex? Or was it like something that couldn't decide, just blew your head off the chest?
I don't think I've ever had bad sex, Terry, honestly, because I'm always the driver, so I'm always going to have
bad sex. Damn, girl.
But I led a very adventurous life as far as sexually, you know, as it's like right from being a teenager. I've always been very adventurous and very stupid as far as knowing what I want. And so, really, erotica was always going to be something that I would write, even though erotica wasn't my first genre. My first genre was street fiction. But like you said, there's a little bit of us in our books. So, of course, all of my books have some type of sex scenes going on in there. It has a little erotica in all of my books. But it's my favorite because it's the easiest to write for me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because like you said, you can just really just go into, you can go off of a memory or a fantasy or whatever and just have fun.
Yeah, because that's
But my first erotica book, wrote a series. It's a two-part series, and it's called High Heels and Homicide. And it's kind of Christmas as well. The main character's name is Malay, and Malay has a mental illness that she has like schizophrenia. She has multiple personalities. So she has two of them. One of them is so submissive and so easily manipulated, but she only exists when this woman is barefoot or has on flats. When she puts on stilettos, she is a serial killer who kills her lovers. So over bad sex, basically. She kills them over bad sex.
Well, like that poem that was read in the beginning of the show, that was a true story for me because being raised up in Baltimore, I had a good friend, man, that she was gay, and I would hang around her because I wanted to see what gay people did because y'all nosy as hell, you know, and she tried to turn me out, skinned me to death. I said, hell to the no. So anyway, I migrated to California, and this one chick, man, I went there. I said, wow, damn, you know. Woo, 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 woo. But, you know. I didn't know why. It blew my damn brains, you know, because it's one thing to be looking and one thing to try it. But, you know, I don't stop that much of the freakiness because, I'm trying not to know. I'm not trying to go there anymore because I just believe that if I don't want to be out in public and acknowledge you as my lover or whatever, then I don't want to do it to you to block the space that someone else can occupy. So since I don't do that no more, or I don't know anybody that's here in my vicinity that will grasp my memory cells and twist them all crazy, you know, it's not going to happen, you know, again, you know. But it was one of those wild moments. But my co-host Chris got a question. And any of my listeners, if you got a question, hit the one on your phone. Let me know you got a question for our guest. If not, you can sit back and just listen. I ain't got no problem with that. So go ahead, Chris.
Okay, just Jay, my first question is, you know, in doing the research for this topic, erotica, and because it's International Women's Day, I actually researched who was the woman who, like, discovered erotica or made it famous. And it's actually a French novelist named Anna S. Nen. And I was going to ask you if you are familiar with her work.
Well, I'm not. Me either. So now I have to go find her. Because I never knew it was, I'm not going to lie, I did assume it was a woman who wrote the first erotica, but that was just an assumption. I never even did the research, Chris.
Wow. Go ahead, Chris. I'm proud of you, baby.
What a fun fact, Chris.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, baby. He's showing up that, you know, he's just a pretty face.
That is awesome. I love that. Okay.
I do, too. Well, let me ask you a question, Jess J. One of your books that has erotica in it, you know, because I want you to read a little bit, because I want people to know before the show is over that, you know, I don't care when you wrote the book. You know, some things are just classic, they're timeless, and you might want to get it just because of the way it sounds, you know. Just like that poem, The Download, that's timeless. Look what year it is now, ten years later. And that poem is still like, make people get turned on and get horny. So read a little bit something from one of your books, darling.
Okay, so that series, High Heels and Homicide, it's a two-part series. So I just picked a random part from part two of this book, of the series.
Okay.
And, okay, so the main character, you know, has her own life going on, but by the time I got to part two, all of the characters had their own lives. And there was one character who, her name was Deja, and Deja was a sub. I don't know if you guys know what, you know, sub and dominant relationships are as far as sexual, but she was a sub. Like, basically, she was a cat in this man's life. She lived in a cage under his bed. He fed her,
Damn.
He bathed her, he painted her toes, and he would, like, basically have crazy, sometimes rough, wild sex with her whenever he felt like it. And she wasn't really, she would just give herself to him at any command. She liked it. She signed herself up for it. She enjoyed it. And he got a second, unquote, pet, and she ran away. So at this point, she's a stray cat, okay?
Okay.
Okay, that's just some background. So she bumped into someone when she first ran away from him. So this is where we are now.
Okay.
When I finally got it together, I scooped her up into my arms. She was still crying, and let her point me to her apartment. I carried her inside, sat her down on a couch, and walked out. The only sentence I could muster up the entire encounter was, "Show me where you live." When I got into my own apartment, I couldn't get her out of my mind. I showered and cooked a light dinner, all still in a daze about our meeting. That night it stormed. It rained hard for hours, and in the middle of all of that lightning and thunder, someone knocked on my door. It was her. She stood there in silence with her face as wet as the cars parked outside. I was speechless again. Neither one of us said a word, but I stepped aside to let her in. She walked past me, and before I could get the door locked and turn to face her, she was kneeling on my living room floor. I still laugh a little when I think about it. She never told me what she had been thinking when she did that, but I was not sure I'd want to know. Seeing her like that actually hurt me. I really had no idea, and neither did she. That was months before this. Since then, since we've been together, my love stands as if she doesn't remember what kneeling felt like. I'm going to say I wouldn't have it any other way. I rushed up the stairs to get lunch on before she came. I didn't want to keep her waiting, although I had every intention of keeping her mind and body occupied while the food finished cooking. I boiled the noodles and cut the chicken breast into cubes. I put the broccoli on to steam, then fried the pieces of chicken. As I mixed all of my ingredients together and added the Alfredo sauce, she used her key to walk in. I immediately kneeled in front of her, and she walked over to me. I touched my head to her leg. How was your interview? I already knew she got the job. My connections had already let me know. Still, I wanted her to tell me. I start Monday, she said as she caressed my head, letting her nails graze my scalp. Her touch was so good, I nearly forgot about the food on the stove. The smell of the food wafted under my nose and reminded me. The food, I asked her permission to move. Go ahead, she nodded. I got up and finished mixing, then made our plates. She watched my every move as usual, and I enjoyed being under her watchful eye. Take your shirt off, she commanded. I placed our food down on the table and complied. That's better, she smiled. I smiled back. I love that she enjoys seeing my body. So tell me about it. I bulldog into our food. Well, there's not really much to tell. I only met one manager and the head of the department, so I couldn't say what I think of my coworkers. I do think the building setup is beautiful. I could tell they put a lot of money into decorating offices, she shrugged. I watched her mouth as she spoke. The way her lips curved, just enough to tease me with glimpses of her tongue as she formed syllables kept me captivated whenever we talked. Then there were her eyes. When we first met, they were sad, but there was a light in them that I was almost sure I was at least partially responsible for. Even her posture was perfect. She told me her last boyfriend was very insistent that she sat straight up when she was sitting in front of him, and it just became second nature. I didn't know why I'd ever let her leave him, especially since I knew he was a dominant and should have been able to change her mind at the very least. But I was glad his loss had turned into my gain. Aren't you going to eat your lunch, TX? Of course. I'm sorry. I got caught up watching you. I knew what she would say next. You're sorry? I had worked so much on lifting her self-esteem that she hated for me to put myself down in even the smallest way. No, I apologize. I adjusted her correction. We ate the rest of our food in silence, and I knew it was because she was crossing me. I had to admit I was excited about whatever punishment she had in mind. Knees, she said. She commanded after watching me eat the last bite on my plate and swallow a sip of my drink. I did as she commanded without hesitation. Under the table, she added once I was in position. I got more excited with this one, but I had to hide it. She opened her legs, and my mouth immediately got watery, but I waited for her to give me the okay. Eat, she said. It was all she had to say because I was so ready. I pulled her panties to the side and buried my face between her legs. I licked and sucked wildly, getting her wetness all over my mouth and chin. She moved. I wish she would fuck my face and moan, but she stayed absolutely still and quiet as I tasted her. The salty and sweet taste was more satisfying than anything I had eaten all day. Then, just when I knew she was about to come in my mouth, she spoke again. Stop. I pretended not to hear her. I needed to taste her cum, to feel her legs shake around my head. Stop, she commanded again, but this time she pushed my head away. I was so disappointed. I stayed there on my knees, inches from her wet flesh, breathing deeply, hoping the feel of my breath against her lips would make her change her mind, because I knew she wanted to come. To my surprise, she got up from her seat and walked away. I came from under the table and sat watching her leave the kitchen area, needing her to tell me that I could follow her, but she didn't. I sat in that spot impatiently as I heard the shower turn on. 20 agonizing minutes passed. By then, the shower turned off. I heard her footsteps moving around the room for another 10 minutes. She finally came walking back into the kitchen, fully dressed in a new outfit, furthering my disappointment. At that point, my dick was painfully hard, but I couldn't question her. As much as I wanted to, I couldn't. As much as I needed her to come for me, I knew she knew that. She touched my head again and walked out the front door without saying a word. I looked down at my hard dick and shook my head.
David, you know, I love the way you write, because I'm sitting here and I can actually visualize what's going on, how the roles were changed, you know, and I'm waiting to see what else is going to happen. You know, So I like that. So that's one or that two. I mean, even though
that's part
together,
two.
I like the hell
that's
out
part
of that.
Two. And part one, the same woman was the cat. She was the cat that lived under the bed.
Yeah.
But by the end of part one, she ran away because even though she was always there being the perfect cat and giving herself to him, he still wanted someone else more than he wanted her, this another guy, her dog. And so while he was pleasing the other woman in front of her, she got up and left. Because
wow.
the whole time it was, she wasn't a slave, she had signed up for it. And so she just got up and left. And he ended up abusing the other woman because he was so sad she left.
Wow. Oh, I like the way that, girl. Okay, you got somebody with their hands up. Okay. Okay, Carla, the last four digits is 0265. Carla?
Yes, good evening, ladies.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I have a question for the author, the guest. By way of context, I am a middle-aged white man who is currently dating a black female. And I was wondering if the author has ever written any erotica that's interracial. And if not, how come? And also, what is her thoughts on interracial dating and the erotica behind that?
Okay. So for one, I did just finish one. It's just not published yet. So it will be coming out in the 1st of May, my first interracial erotica. And the reason I have not written one before is because I had not experienced it before now. So it's something that I had to experience to relate.
That's very important that you mentioned that. I'm wondering, do you find in your experience a lot of mature black women are attracted to white men, or is it the opposite?
I kind of find that it's the opposite. I do feel like a lot of mature white men are attracted to black women of all ages. But I do feel like it is an experience that many women don't know they deserve. I'll say that. So,
and it's also the stereotype, too. Just, Jay, when,
yes,
you know, I've been with white guys, and they have been, you know, nicely stacked. But, you know, when you hear the stereotype that most white guys, they got small penises, a lot of times we don't even want to venture there because we don't want to waste our time. But, you know, like I said, I had a couple of white guys, and they were like, okay, but, you know.
Right.
You know, that stereotype.
Right.
Like they say, black guys have big penises and fat guys got small penis. But what if you're a black fat guy? Okay, there goes the, you throw it out the window. Because if you're black, you got big penis, but you're fat, you got small. So it shows that that really don't help. I think what we look for now, you know, mature black women, is for a good man, whatever package that he comes in. Because if he don't have enough down there, they got a whole lot of toys he can buy at different adult stores.
I
agree. But not to
if
say,
I
go ahead, Chris.
I was going to chime in that, you know, it's interesting that you said that. I've never looked at it from that perspective. It seems to me as also, though, that women, at least the women that I've met, they're not upfront interested in the sexual part. It seems to me they're always looking for either something deeper on a commitment level or a long-term relationship. At least in my experience, it's not to me like the 60s where the women I meet, they're not, I don't know, they're just not ready to, they're not ready to jump into bed on the first night.
Yeah.
I think that has a lot to do with the stereotype, though, because if you find the right woman, she will definitely invite you to have fun.
Right.
Yeah, thank you. Exactly. You answered all my questions.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, you hit the one key and take it off the hand down. If you come back, once you put your hand back up, that'll be fine too. But I'm a real quick, I'm going to go and take a little music break, and we're going to come right back with Chris's question.
Okay.
Were just thrown away. I'm finally getting back to what I used to be. Shared my pain with my family. Think I'm on my way. I can sleep at night. I don't reach for you when I wake up. No. But it's taking some time. I can live my life without praying that we could make up. I'm moving on, I'm feeling strong inside, but sometimes I cry when I'm all alone with this heart of mine. Ooh, sometimes I and you'll both be happy, yeah. Been long enough for me to take a look around. I met a girl, we've been hanging out. She's been good to me. But when we're making love, she don't take me there like you used to. And it hurts when I love. Help me understand how to push you out, forget you, and let you go. Cause Lord knows I'm trying, but sometimes I cry. Baby, I've been hurting for a long, long time. Yes, I have.
Oh,
Well, welcome back to Unmasked with authors Terry E. Lyle and Chris Michael Woods, and our special guest, Jess Jay, a phenomenal woman. So before we run out of time, my co-host Chris got a question.
Yes, Jess Jay. My next question is, you listed all your all the genres that you will publish. I personally like biographies myself, but are there any genres that you won't publish?
No, I am 1,000% willing and excited to always try a new genre. I think a lot of authors kind of stick with what they feel like is easiest for them or what they do best, quote unquote. But for me, I like pushing the envelope. So I literally will never, even though I love erotica, I will always be doing something new. I actually also, like I said, I'm about to publish my first interracial erotica. I'm also about to publish a self-help book for myself because most of my books are fiction, even though I've done a lot of self-help and motivational books for my clients as a ghostwriter and a writing coach. I'm always trying to push and do something new.
Well, I understand what you're saying because I myself, I have never wrote a children's book, and I've did a whole lot of other things already, so I want to try
I
at
have
least
done
one
children's books
book.
For my clients. I have never done one for myself, but I have done one for multiple for clients.
Yeah, I want that to be part of my repertoire, you know. Girl, I'm just amazed at you. You're just phenomenal. Tell people how to get a hold of your products.
Okay. All of my books are available on Amazon as well as Kindle. And all you have to do is type in Just J, J-U-S-T-J-A-E. That's one word, last name Warner, W-A-R-N-E-R. If you type those, my name in, it'll pull up all 13 of my books.
Yeah. And before we go, tell me a little bit about you being a literary writer. What do you offer your clients? I'm looking for another one myself.
Okay. I offer ghostwriting. I offer threading, which is just basically helping you polish a book that you've already put together yourself. I also offer coaching, which is for people that would love to put out a book but really don't know what they're doing. As a literary agent, I do offer my connections, my advice, my expertise in promoting as a first-time author. And in that field, I pretty much have a spot-on system where a lot of my clients go number one first time out. So I offer a lot of assistance. And anything literary, basically. I write synopsises because a lot of people seem to have issues writing the synopsis for the back. Book blurbs, I do promotions. I have access to people who do book swag. You know, they make keychains, bookmarks, tote bags. I have all kinds of packages.
Okay. Well, you know, definitely send me a link. Let me check it out. I'm just so grateful to have this time with you tonight. And
yeah,
thank you for, you know, taking out your busy schedule to be here because, girl, you know, Chris, tell them how we do it down here.
When you come on the show, you are family, F-I-M-I-L-E-Y.
That's right. We are family. Not all my sisters.
Well, you
me.
Know, Miss Terry, we go back. I remember I did your show for the first time when I first came out as an author in, like, 2015. And I have sent a lot of my clients to you to do shows. So some of your guests, even though you didn't know, were my clients.
Okay, well, you can send some more. Fill the gap for next week, next Friday.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
That'll work. Yeah, because I had this one guy talking about he's a Masonic, you know, but I'm not chasing you for your story. If you want to tell your story, you'll make the information available. I'm not going to be chasing you. And, you know, I kind of felt like 3 weeks in, forget you. It's a myth for me, you know, because if I don't have that much priority for you to get your story told for free, you know, other places you go to, they want to charge you to be on their show, and I'm trying to get you for free, and you want to be clowning, thinking you all this and that. I don't care if you're 33rd, Kiss the Black Rock, whatever in that organization. It don't mean S-H-I-T to me, crying the cat, you know.
Right.
You know, if you want to bring somebody on, we can make that part of your services. We can work together, like when you got a new author out or one that you're trying to promote their stuff, give me a holler, you know, and I can make sure that we can work that thing and be part of your process.
Will do. And if any of the listeners are looking for any of my services, I am on all social media at Just J the Book Club.
Okay,
so you can reach out. I do answer questions. Say again.
Because it's raining here, and the rain is kind of drowning me out.
Yeah.
I can't hear clearly.
Can you hear me now?
No, I need you to speak a little louder because I got the rain just coming down here where I'm at, and it's like the rain is louder than you.
Oh, okay. 1 second. Can you hear me better now?
I can.
Okay. I was saying for anyone that is looking for my services, you can see some of my reviews for my clients. You can see more on what I'm doing, what I have going on, and keep up by following me on social media, any platform, at Just J the Book Club.
Just J the Book Club.
Just
J
the Book Club, right?
Yes. And book plug is one word.
Okay. Oh, everybody, y'all heard what she said, and if y'all was listening to what she read out her book, part two, damn, part two is saucy. I got to see part one, you know, girlfriend. I really like that. I'm sitting there mesmerized. I said, shit, this needs to be on TV, on BET.
You know
damn.
What, Perry, that's
yeah,
my next thing. I am definitely making them short films. That's going to be my next thing I want to do.
You're making short films? Well, let me know because I got Tyler Perry's phone number, and I can share it because, you know, it is what it is, you know. I hope this other lady up who want to sing and be part of his, you know, plays, and, you know. So, yeah, you're supposed to help each other out because if one makes it, that's all right. Just bring the other along with you. You know, I don't care who gets to the top first. Just leave a spot for me, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
And on that, note, I first want to also say thank you to Chris for that little tidbit of history I never knew.
I tried to do my research.
Babe, you did your homework for real. You should. Oh my goodness! You deserve a big old hug. And Just Jay, thank you, sweetheart. And call me. I got you. Whatever you need. We got 90 seconds, and we did it in the nick of time. So, darling, you have a blessed weekend. Call me. You got my number. Let's talk, okay?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much. And thank you for the knowledge and the questions, Chris. I appreciate all
You're
the
welcome.
Listeners.
Yes, Chris, the blue
listeners are great.
Question. Yeah, Chris, I'm proud of you.
All right, enough
well,
already. I'm blushing.
Have a blessed weekend. Stay safe. You ought to blush because you earned that one. I give you a Grammy, darling. You did that thing.
Bye-bye.
Good night, everyone.